we do have, and we have nine. So I'd like to say hi to each and every one of them individually, but I'm afraid I would probably miss somebody and leave somebody out. But we sure wish you all could be here with us. The last time I was in Duluth, there was something written on a whiteboard in the back of the room. Now, I don't know if I'm sure not everybody here has been to services in Duluth, but it's in a church basement. It's a nice facility. There's a kitchen down there. It's actually quite lovely. But on the back of the room, there was a whiteboard with something written on it. That's what I want to talk about today. Just stuck in my mind, and a message came out of it. Now, to many people, the number four has significance in the Bible. In the examples we can find, the number four can mean everyone or everything. As Mr. Lausted pointed out earlier, there are the four Gospels. Well, then there's the four camps of Israel, the four corners of the earth, the four directions, the four seasons, and so on. You know, there are many more examples of where the number four encompasses everyone or everything. Well, today I want to talk about four specific words. And so the title that I have today is Four Words. Four Words. Now, the first word that I want to discuss today is the word praise. The word praise. Now, the word praise appears in the Bible 277 times in the New King James Translation, 150 times in the book of Psalms alone. Well, that's more than all the other books combined. You know, some people even refer to the book of Psalms as the praise book of the Bible. Now, the first time the word praise appears is in Genesis, when Leah gives birth to Judah. Now, we won't turn there, but in Genesis 29:35, the Bible reads, "And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, 'Now I will praise the Lord.' Therefore, she called his name Judah." You know, Judah means praise. And, you know, how very fitting that is when you consider that this lineage would lead to Christ himself. You know, I'd like us to turn to a section of Deuteronomy that's very fitting when considering the word praise. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we'll read verses 12 through 22. So Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verses 12 through 22. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and starting in verse 12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude." Okay, this section of Scripture that we just read has the heading Essence of the Law in the New King James Translation. But what I like about these verses is that they precede the message that Christ would later bring. I mean, love God, keep His commandments, love strangers, feed the poor, and so on. You know, I don't think every professing Christian really gets that the foundation of the new covenant is the old covenant. They don't compete with one another. They complement one another. But note verse 21 in what we read. He is your praise. God is our praise. Christ became the lion of the tribe of praise. All right, the second word that I want to single out in this message is the word repent. Repent. You know, I found 78 times the word repent is used in the Bible. Well, let's look at this one example in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, we'll look at verses 30 through 32. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 through 32. Ezekiel 18, and starting in verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. You know, I could have chosen many New Testament verses that use the word repent. But here again is a preview of the New Testament. God will judge everyone according to their ways or to their works. Well, this is repeated in Romans 2:6 and in Revelation 20 and verse 12. And the call for Israel to repent was the same cry as John the Baptist. And we are told here in Ezekiel that God has no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Well, that's a preview of 1 Timothy 2:4. And we won't turn there, but it is written here that God desires all men and women to be saved. You know, the importance of repentance is revealed in Christ's ministry. You know, he stressed that repentance is a crucial part of reaching the goal of entering God's kingdom. Now, we won't turn there, but at the end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus instructed his disciples that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. You know, an endless series of sermons could be written about the word repent. For our purposes here, we just want to acknowledge that repentance is very, very important. So the third word that I want to examine today is the word another. Another. You know, other people, in other words. Now, we certainly know the importance of putting another person ahead of ourselves. Now, we won't turn there, but in Mark chapter 12, Christ gives us the two most important commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And sure enough, we had a preview of this in the Old Testament. If you want to join me in Leviticus 19... we'll read verses 17 through 18. So Leviticus chapter 19. And we'll read verses 17 through 18. Leviticus 19, and starting in verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You know, I found a couple of interesting quotes about putting other people first, loving your neighbor. Almost every sinful action ever committed can be traced back to a selfish motive. You know, it's a trait that we hate in other people, but justify in ourselves. So the shortened version of that is selfishness leads to sin. And another quote that I like, above all the grace and gifts that Christ gives to his beloved is that of overcoming self. I really like that quote. Now, with the covenant God made with Abraham, he told Abraham that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Human reproduction is an integral part of God's plan. And God has designed human reproduction to be under the umbrella of family. As parents among us would attest, a child born becomes more important than the parent. Now, even those of us who do not have children can certainly understand this. And we are all a part of God's family. The love that a parent has for a child is an intended goal that God would have us achieve with every other person. You know, other people count more than ourselves. You know, I've heard the saying, the way of give versus the way of get. You know, other people are more important. All right, finally, the fourth word making up today's message is the word yourself. Yourself. Now, we just covered other people and how we should treat them at least as good as we treat ourselves, and certainly strive to treat them even better. And we have the biblical example of examining the plank in our own eye before pointing out the speck in someone else's eye. You know, I suppose that could be justification for biblical selfishness in a way that we must first consider ourselves before other people. But the idea here is along the lines of repentance and humility and not selfishness. We cannot, however, ignore ourselves. You know, we are responsible for our own salvation, after all. Now, we won't turn there, but in 2 Timothy 2:6, the Bible reads, "The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." You know, we reap what we sow, in other words, before the harvest can be extended to others. You know, the Bible is our instruction manual for gaining entrance into God's kingdom. It is meant for us as individuals. You know, we cannot forget or ignore the guidance the Bible gives us towards this goal. While we are to praise God, repent of our sins, and consider another, we do have ourselves to consider as well. Our actions, our thoughts, our hearts, all of which the Bible provides a guide for us. And we won't turn there, but 1 Thessalonians 4:11 tells us to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, and to work with our hands. Well, the goal stated there is that we will then walk properly towards those who are outside. You know, to do this, we must tend to our own backyard. Do not ignore yourself. All right, praise, repent, another, and yourself. If we take the first letter of each of these words, it spells out the word pray. I'd like you to join me in Matthew 6. We'll read verses 5 through 13. So we'll take a closer look here at the model prayer and its introduction. Matthew 6, we'll read verses 5 through 13. Matthew 6, and starting in verse 5. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Okay, so this is the model prayer, which we all know. Growing up Catholic, I knew this prayer by heart, as they were the words of the Our Father prayer. And I can probably recite the Hail Mary prayer as well, having these prayers ingrained into my memory since I was very young. While most of Christianity would find this a good thing, being able to memorize and recite prayers, we know that the introduction to the model prayer here in Matthew tells us very clearly not to use vain repetitions. You know, God wants us to talk to him like a child talks to a parent. A parent would not want a scripted conversation with their child. You know, I remember going to confession, where you had to go into this rather kind of creepy, dark room and tell the priest your sins. The priest would then offer you forgiveness by giving you, five Our Father prayers and three Hail Mary prayers to recite, or whatever the penance was. My older brother Pat and I would compare our penance. And sometimes the winner was the one with the least prayers to recite, and sometimes the winner was the one with the most prayers to recite. You know, that game we played, and the whole idea of getting a repetitive penance assigned to you by another human is just wrong on so many levels based on what the Bible teaches. You know, when you Google for the word penance, it brings up several dictionary definitions of the word. The primary definition is voluntary self-punishment inflicted as an outward expression of repentance for having done wrong. Self-punishment inflicted. It makes me think of the Da Vinci Code movie. I don't know if anyone else has seen that, and that character who would tighten that sleeve around his thigh, that spiked band around him, his thigh, to mutilate himself as a form of self-punishment. And the phrase "outward expression of repentance" in the definition of penance, you know, apparently one just has to look good on the outside. But, you know, there's a big difference between penance and repentance. But the biggest difference is that repentance is biblical, and penance is something that man created. I mean, there's a whole sermon right there, I would guess. Penance just makes you look good on the outside. It makes me think of Christ's words to the Pharisees. You know, they look beautiful on the outside, but are whitewashed tombs on the inside. And that's from Matthew 23:27. How would you like to be described as that? Whitewashed tombs on the inside. Yikes. All right. Let's go back to the model prayer, and let's take a closer look. For we are going to find the words praise, repent, another, and yourself reflected in these verses. So in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 11, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. All right, this is how the model prayer starts, and this is praise. We recognize our great God as our Father, and we identify that He is holy. We acknowledge that even His name is holy. And we are instructed to by this model to provide reverence, a deep respect for Him. We also want His kingdom to come and His will to be done. Well, this too is praise. You know, I've heard it said that one of the best ways to compliment someone is to ask them their opinion. And I think this is very true. Ask someone their opinion sometime about a topic, and they will probably light up to varying degrees. It's a sign of respect to one another, as you are showing that you value what they have to say. It's not flattery. It's respect. No, we aren't trying to flatter God, to stroke His ego. We truly want His kingdom to come and His will to be done. There's an eternity of joy and peace that is within His will. And even asking God in verse 11 to give us our daily bread, well, that too is praise. We want His will, His way, His sustenance. You know, we praise God by asking Him for guidance and direction. Just like a parent would be honored if a child asked for direction or advice. God is, you know, after all, our great Heavenly Father. Then in the model prayer in Matthew 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, now here we have repentance. We ask God to forgive us. We acknowledge the sin in our lives, and we ask for forgiveness. And we ask God to forgive our debts, our sins. You know, while repentance is certainly more than simply asking for forgiveness, it starts with asking for forgiveness. The model prayer then includes other people. Another comes into play. As we forgive our debtors, points out other people and the responsibility that we have towards our fellow brothers and sisters. You know, later in Matthew 18:22, Jesus gives us the parable of the unforgiving servant. Well, that parable starts out by Christ's instructions to forgive other people 490 times, 70 times 7. Do not hold back forgiveness from anyone, in other words. And then in Matthew 6, verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, now we reach the word yourself. After praise, repent, another, we finally get to ourselves in the model prayer. We ask our great God to keep us from temptation and keep the devil far from us. So the word pray and the four words that we've identified to make up the word pray are in the model prayer. And not only that, the hierarchy, the importance of these four words are also evident. Praise, that comes first. Repent is next, followed by another. And finally, yourself, we come last. We know Christ said that the last shall be first, and we could turn to so many verses in the Bible that give us the instruction to be humble. You know, such instructions are exceedingly abundant in the Bible, as humility is such a key aspect of Christianity. Well, let's take a look at one. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. You know, one could find any number of New Testament verses about humility, but I actually like this one. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. It's when God appears to Solomon after the dedication of the temple that Solomon built. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 reads, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." You know, this verse goes so well with the model prayer. If we are called by God's name, if we recognize that He and His name are holy, and pray to seek His kingdom, His will, and turn from our wicked ways, if we repent, then God will forgive. The land will be healed. You know, God's kingdom, His power, His glory, a glimpse of it anyway, will be here on earth. And that is how the model prayer ends. Now, we won't turn back there, but the end of Matthew 6:13 reads, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." You know, fittingly, the model prayer ends with more praise as we recognize that God's kingdom, power, and glory will stand forever. The model prayer starts with praise, continues with repent, then another, then yourself, and finally ends again with praise. You know, you can't go wrong with this guideline. And this guideline fits the Ten Commandments even to a degree. Now, we won't find repentance in the Ten Commandments, as that is to be our reaction when we break God's laws. But the Ten Commandments start out by identifying God as the God. It starts with praise. It continues with praise as we revere and keep Him holy by not creating and worshiping idols, by keeping His name sacred, and by keeping His Sabbath holy. You know, this is all praise. Then the last six commandments are about another. They are about other people and putting other people ahead of ourselves. They are about humility. We are to honor our parents and not sin in various ways against other people. Our instruction is to put other people first. You know, as repent is not implicitly found in the Ten Commandments, neither is yourself. We aren't given any gifts here, just instructions. But humility is right there in the Ten Commandments, in that the focus is on God and other people. Praise is first, then comes another, other people. You know, we put ourselves last. So that hierarchy is consistent. You know, I've chosen four words here to spell out the word pray. Praise, repent, another, and yourself. Number four is used many times in the Bible to represent everything or everyone. But these four words do not encompass all there is in prayer. There's more to prayer than these four elements. The model prayer, for example, does not include giving thanks. Well, how many verses are there in the Bible to instruct us or simply suggest to us that giving God thanks is a good idea? The answer? Lots. But praise, repent, another, and yourself do a very good job at highlighting the important components of prayer. And these four words of prayer are in the order of importance when we go before our awesome Creator God and have our own personal, unscripted conversation with Him. You know, the model prayer starts and ends with praise. Driving over here today, it sort of hit me that the book of Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible. And it is about praise. I mean, you tell me if praise is a important aspect of prayer. But remember, too, to ask God for His opinion on a matter. You know, asking someone for their opinion is a great compliment to them, after all. So that's a great way that we can compliment our Creator. And it fulfills the first and most important aspect of the model prayer, which is to give praise to the Almighty for His will, His kingdom, His power, and His glory shall last forever. Amen.